Oh, good morning to you from Borgata. Jetta Cameron and John Ritchie, along with Seltzer and Devin on 94 WIP on this Friday morning. Eagles won last night. Entertaining game. Fun game. No Rhea with us today. She'll be back, of course, next week. We'll get to Sirianni, what he said about Tanner McKee and Keely Ringo, a tale of two players, to say the least. One guy whose arrow is pointed up and one guy whose arrow is pointed down. So what the head coach said about them after the game, we'll get to that shortly. Let's also talk some disgruntled players for a moment. Sometimes with reason to be disgruntled, sometimes without reason to be disgruntled, or you be the judge. So disgruntled player number one is Micah Parsons with the Dallas Cowboys. You know the story. He wants out of Dallas, or at least he says he does, privately, with a request for a trade, which has become public. There was an interesting thing yesterday from a talk show host in Dallas, and the guy's name is Bobby Belt. I've never heard of him before, but he's a talk show host in Dallas, and he laid something out I thought was pretty interesting, framed, you know, gives you an idea of the degree to which Micah Parsons wants out. Here's what this talk show host in Dallas said.
But I think I'll tell you, the impression I got yesterday talking to people with the Cowboys and just calling around the league and stuff like that is they're not joking with the request. Like right now, they're serious, it feels like.
That's pretty interesting, man.
So, good news. More right? of that, buddy.
Right? So, I don't know, man. It's just a wild situation. I mean, the Eagles play the Cowboys now in 27 days. Is Micah Parsons going to be in that game? Is he going to play for Dallas this year? Is he going to play for Dallas the next 10 years?
It's all. We certainly would benefit any team in the world.
Tanner McKee for Micah Parsons?
For having Micah Parsons on the
Seltzer
team.
Seltzer Tanner McKee for
Why on earth would the Dallas Cowboys ever allow that to happen? You know, like, why would they ever trade him to us?
Well, I don't think he's going to get traded here, but it could happen. Crazy. Look, most normally guys get the deal. Right, I mean,
he's going to get the deal down there, and he's going to count some exorbitant number against their cap.
Because remember, he hasn't said
like $100 million against their cap.
He hasn't said anything like what Myles Garrett said out in Cleveland. I mean, Myles Garrett was so I want out of here, and then they, you know, gave him the offer he wanted, and he signed. But anyway, it's worth keeping your eye on. I thought that was interesting audio from Dallas. One more thing. Speaking of disgruntled players, anniversary on Sunday of what? I'm not going to give either the year.
I was on the phone. Say it one more time.
James, Sunday is the anniversary of something significant in Philadelphia sports history. What is it? I'm not going to tell you the year. So that would be what? What is today, the 8th?
Yeah, so the 10th you're talking about.
That would be August 10th in Philly sports history. And again, I've given you a monster hint. Disgruntled player.
Oh, I didn't hear the disgruntled player part. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's too early for T.O.,
correct.
Right? Oh, T.O. was? I didn't think it was this early. Wow.
What specifically?
The sit-ups,
yeah.
20th anniversary coming up in 2 days. T.O. in the driveway.
It's actually crazy that it was already 20 years
are
ago.
Are you kidding
kicked
me?
Kicked out of a practice or camp or whatever it was, you know, for that day.
Oh, he was not in camp.
Goes home. John, you were still in the Eagles. You got cut a couple weeks later, but Sunday is the 20-year anniversary of T.O. doing sit-ups in the driveway.
Oh, man.
Can you? Isn't that amazing?
I remember walking into the dorm room at Lehigh, standing there incredulously with the other running backs.
Watching it on TV?
Karell Buchholder and Deuce and Brian. I think we're all just sitting there, and I had my Harry Potter book, whatever the second to last Harry Potter book was. We were just coming from our meetings, and there's the TV. There's our teammate, not in camp with us, not at the meetings, but he's working out, and we can see he's doing the sit-ups.
Pretty amazing. So anyway, I'm sure that'll be a talking point this weekend because, you know, that's a pretty big anniversary. We know, obviously, things went off the rails from there. They were off the rails at that moment, went off the rails from there. All right, let's get a lot of calls in this segment, particularly in the next 15 minutes or so, because 7:45, we got Beat the Hammer. 7:55, we've got Elliot, who was on the scene last night. Speaking of on the scene, Devin was as well. Devin, give us something that that stood out to you? You got sideline access game going on. I mean, McKee, very impressive. I thought defender shaky.
Yeah.
What else, though, that maybe we don't know because we're not, you know, on the sideline? Like, what'd you say?
I mean, my favorite part of last night was watching the starters, the guys who weren't playing, even, you know, new OC Kevin Petullo, new coaches, react to these young, mostly younger guys. I mean, I know there were a few guys who will be starters out there on both sides of the ball, but
happy for them kind of moment.
Yeah, like when Tanner McKee successfully executed his first tush push. I was standing right next to where the offensive line stands on the sidelines, and they lost their minds. Everyone was going up to Kevin Petullo and hugging him. You know, they kind of got that out of the way early. Also, the crowd was going wild. Saquon Barkley said in training camp earlier this week that he's a big trash talker. He seems like he's having a lot of fun out there, a lot more fun at least than he definitely had in New York and maybe even had last season. And he's doing really well, but he was standing right in front of us on the sideline for a while, trash talking from the sideline. So it, my favorite part
to the other team, like he's
giving, oh yeah. So like the Bengals, and this is like towards the end of the game too. So it's like the Bengals' third string corner, and he's trash talking him.
That's funny.
But it's cool to see them get up for guys who, you know, some of these guys might not even make the team, but the support is still
there. That's an unbelievable. Think about that part. You got the starters. You got Saquon cheering on guys who probably aren't going to be here in September, and that, I don't know, that
good
bond that matters.
Yeah,
that takes it. It really does say a lot about the way that they establish team here.
Yeah, no, it's really good stuff. Look, there's a lot of good to react to from last night. McKee being probably the biggest bright spot. The wide receivers that are going to be the backup receivers, some good stuff there. You know, Kelee Ringo was not good. I mean, he just wasn't. All right, let's go to the phones. Derek and Paoli. Derek, good morning.
Good morning. Yo,
what's up, Derek?
What up, pal?
John, congratulations to you, man.
Thank you, Derek.
Love is a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I'm surprised that Jack, and I'm starting to like Jack, but for you to have so much confidence, Joe, I'm almost thinking that you might have paid him off the next way because you're just talking real, like, you have no respect for him, bro.
Well, I knew that if he wasn't very good at tennis, I knew I'd smoke him at tennis. Like, I was very confident of that. But candidly, I didn't know what he would bring to the table. I was only discerning based on what he said on the air, which didn't sound impressive. Derek, the overall thing is I just felt confident a couple months ago. I'm a better athlete than Jack. And part of it is the, you know, what you think of as athleticism, like the natural skill set in there. But part of it is the heart. I mean, you got to dig down, man. I mean, you heard what A.J. Listen, competitors like A.J. Brown and the Hammer, you know, with that audio we played of A.J. about half an hour ago, you got to dig down. That's what I do. That's why I got 290 wins honestly, and beat the Hammer, Derek.
So, honestly, listen, you think you can only beat him in basketball, though?
A.J. Brown or Jack Fritz?
Jack Fritz.
Jack Fritz. Oh, I know I could beat him. I don't know that I for sure will beat him, but I would certainly put me as the favorite, yes.
So you're going to win this competition?
Yeah, I thought that the whole time. I've told you that from beginning to middle, and we'll find out if it's true. In the end, we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't bet on you. I want you to win. But
you should.
I just don't know where Jack's head is because yesterday he was just the same old Jack. He didn't have no – he wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't ashamed.
That should tell you something, Derek.
Yeah, that's wild, bro.
Derek, I actually said it wasn't a disaster.
Derek, I see it differently. I think I'm being honest. If I'm being the psychologist, if I'm Dr. Melfi here to Tony Soprano, I think he's deflecting
from
the torture within him, and he's trying to act like it's no big deal because I don't think he wants the world to see him suffer, I think.
I mean, he threw his racket, but I think that was...
Well, he wants to win. No, he wants to win. But I think he's realizing better man, other side.
I definitely think that there's something in a defense mechanism at play here with Jack.
Yeah, he's...
Like, I don't care. I don't even care. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it doesn't... Something
well, it
should
matter.
There.
It better start mattering,
it's
or else we're going to lose this whole thing.
All right, Derek, I need an answer from you for a big coming of age character.
You always cut me short, but anyway, I'm going to go with Cooper Gooding Jr. and Boys in the Hood.
Has already been said. Give me a different answer.
I'm,
You don't watch the movies I watch. I would say Omar Epps and Love and Basketball.
Oh, Joe man, likes Love and Basketball.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I love that movie. All right, Derek, give me your point on the Eagles. What do you got?
Nah, I just feel like, you know, last night you attacking, like, you know, Kelly Ringo. They did look bad, but they was looking bad against, you know, arguably the best receiver do what when the league. You know,
no, for sure.
That first drive. So
that's right.
I would
that's
just
right.
be a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? You put Kenyon out there and Cooper out there, that'd give them a little bit more security.
Well, but, no, it would. You know. All right, Derek, good call, buddy. Let's listen to Sirianni from last night, first on Kelly Ringo and then on Tanner McKee. Because obviously it was totally different type of performances from those two guys. Let's start with Sirianni on Keeley, who clearly struggled.
You evaluate everything. Keeley's done a nice job in practice to date, you know, and he's made a lot of plays in practice, you know, today. You know, we'd like to see him, those guys complete those outs on a lot of, I see them make a lot of those plays, you know. Jamar Chase is, you know, one of the better receivers in the NFL. Just we got to make that tackle there in that situation and you know, stop that play for a 16-yard gain instead of it going out there.
To say the least.
Uh-huh. You think
least.
So?
Right. Like, Sirianni's not telling you there what he really wants to say. What he really wants to say is this guy was a disaster tonight, and one of the other two guys better be ready to go, because if I got to play this guy as my starter, I got a problem.
It really felt like they were – look, I was hoping to see him step up, step his level of play up, and it felt like the opposite occurred.
It did.
Felt like it got a little overwhelming.
It did.
It got away from him. He felt like it looked like he was playing catch up because he was not as confident in his assignments as he needed to be. It's just, it got too big.
And, look, I felt bad for him. I mean, when they were showing him in the second half standing on the sideline when he was taken out of the game, you know, because his time in the game was over. But, you know, you see other players joke and laugh and talk and whatever. And for that snippet where they showed him a couple
he's
times.
He's very aware that
oh, he
knew
just he struggled.
Did
yeah, he knew.
Poorly.
Which is really a shame.
He's letting this opportunity slip away.
This is not the day for Kelly Ringo to listen to WIP. let's just be candid about it. So, feel bad for him, but it's also a problem because someone's got to play the spot and we don't yet know who that person will be. I don't think it will be him as the starter. All right, Tanner McKee. He was obviously unbelievably impressive. Just really looked good. Let's listen to what Nick Sirianni said after the game about McKay.
Nick, how do you think Tanner played tonight?
Played pretty good.
Let's see, but, you know, a little bit more as far as what he did well.
He played good. No, he did a lot of good things. Went to the right place with the football, was accurate. Ran, you know, had really good operation, him and Kevin. A lot of communication and Scott. Yeah, he did a really nice job.
Did a great job. He really did. And look, to me, what has come into focus is you don't trade him unless you get at least a first-round pick. And, you know, like, I don't even consider trading him for a two. And the concept of a one, now it can depend on what type of team it is. Generally, a team that needs a quarterback is usually not a very good team. And that can become a top-10 pick. Now, sometimes a quarterback can make a difference and make that type of team a playoff team sometimes. But I'll just say I would not consider trading Tanner McKee, who you have under contract really cheap for two more years, this one and next year, unless it's at least a number one pick. At least. I think he's very good.